He will never ask us to do anything that he's not going to show himself. He will always show up. And, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing to come tonight, and just so many times people, stuff happens in church with people. Something said or something's done because a person goes to church. And I've never had so many comments like in the last few months by people that don't attend church and that's supposed to be a Christian because of something that's done. But you know, I asked the question, how can I do you something and you get mad at God? But that's what people's doing. They don't like what's being preached. They don't like what's being said. Somebody says something that they don't agree with and they get mad and take it out on God. God never changed. He's always been the same from the beginning. He'll be the same to the end. So why? Listen, if every person in ministry in this church tonight takes their Bible, throws it on the floor, and walks out the door and says, I'm never coming back, it gives nobody an excuse to not serve God. Because that pastor or that person in ministry, the song leader, that person you sit next to every service is not the one that died for your sins. But what happened? God appeared. He showed up with the Lamb. You know, I never understood clearly what I said the last time I was up here about the church and a church. See, the Lamb, they offered lambs all the time. But God had a lamb. That night, there was not another lamb that could take the Lamb of God's place. Not on earth. Do you know what was awesome? The same way he tested Abraham, he tests us. And we all have a self-will. Every one of us was created with a self-will. You know why people don't come when they're supposed to? Because they chose not to, because of their self-will. And I can tell you, through preparing for this service tonight, there's about 7 people that God had a word for tonight that's not here. You say, can we miss God? Absolutely. But we choose to. It's our choice. It's decisions we make. You know, sometimes if we just sit back and think, you know what some people sat home for tonight? Oh, it's just the Torah portion. Listen to me. The mind of my understanding has never been open more to God's word like it has since we started this Torah portion. I begin to look. And yeah, I understand and I know and I received the fact that there was a prophecy given that I would look in God's word and see things I hadn't seen before, and I would say things I hadn't said before. But listen to me, the mind of my understanding since we started this has been open more to God's word than it's ever been. And it just amazes me how much we miss because we fail to go to God's word with an open mind. You know, it can't be said enough. We'll read books. You know, you give people books, they get all excited about somebody's book they wrote. Listen, if God's word can't excite us, there ain't no book going to help us. Because God's word will never. See, you could read a book and find mistakes in it. But God's word will never return void. But we got to be willing to open it up and grab a hold of it. You think that just by it's some coincidence when You know, I'll get up in the morning and get my phone or my iPad, and I'll just start listening to the Torah portion. And or if I'm out in the shop at work, working or doing something, you just start listening to it. Well, you put God's word in, and you're listening to it, and all of a sudden something's said through the word of God, and it just reaches out and it grabs you. You think that's not no coincidence. That's God's spirit trying to get a hold of us. You know, what would I have done? I asked myself this question before. What would I have done if God would have said, take your son and go offer him to me? You know, some of us can't offer ourselves. How are we going to offer our son? But we get too caught up in what just looking around and thinking that somebody don't like you. Listen, it don't matter if they like you or not. They're not the ones that died for you. They're not the ones that gave their life for you. Jesus did. That's what matters, is our walk with God through Jesus. Because that's what's going to keep us. You know, it's not about what everybody else does. It's a relationship with God. You know why Abraham was able to do it? Because he had a relationship. You know, I thought about this even as it mentioned about Joseph. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, he said, take Jesus and flee to the mountains. Because they're going to try to kill him. You know why he was obedient? Because of the relationship he had with God. Because if it had not been for a relationship, he'd have just hung around there. See, think about it. God took a man, flesh and blood, just like we are, and he gave him direction. But see, Joseph followed direction. No different than Jesus. He was flesh and blood. He was a man. He was born as a child, lived as a child, became a teenager, became a man, but his will was to do the will of the Father. A flesh, earthly man. But the will of the Father meant more to him than anything else. And that's why we're able to sit here and serve God. Because of a lamb. Not another lamb on earth could ever take his place. Not another lamb on earth could ever do what he done. But he paid the price for us all. All we have to do is have a relationship. You know those that struggling? We find ourselves struggling so many times. Check our relationship. If you find yourself struggling, it's because something's wrong with the relationship. Something's wrong between us and the Father. You know, every time I ever found myself struggling, the Spirit of God would just take me back and say, just look back and see what you've done. See, sometimes we need to take a look back and we can see our mistakes. We can see where we failed and get it fixed. Get it corrected. See, that's working on a relationship. I was figuring out, you know, I'm 52 and I said, well, at 14 I got saved, man, that's a long time ago. But you know, you don't hear a lot of stories like that no more. You don't hear where it's 30, 40 years that somebody been serving God. You know, people, somebody gets saved this week, the church is placing bets on them, seeing how long they're going to last. Listen, the same Jesus that I accepted as my Lord and Savior 38 years ago is the same Jesus we have to accept today. Well, we got to work on it. There was a time in my life that I decided preaching wasn't what I wanted to do. Decided serving God wasn't what I wanted to do. And I could tell you it was the most miserable year of my life. But thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. There's some of you sitting here today that could tell stories of the most miserable time running from God that you ever lived. But thank God we could come back and he forgives us and he helps us build a relationship with him. Your foundation's been shaken. Get your relationship right, because that's going to keep your foundation firm. That's what causes our foundation to be right, is our relationship with him. And I'm not talking about in a church service. I'm talking about when nobody else is around and nobody's there. And it's just you and God. You know, some of the most awesome times I had was I was driving, nobody in my truck. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit shows up and says, hey, let's work on that relationship while we're all alone. Let's work on that wisdom. Let's work on that knowledge. Let's work on understanding. Let's work on a desire to want me more than anything. See, it's not about how loud we shout. It's not about how fast we can run around a building. It's not about getting excited if your favorite speaker comes by. It's about being real with God. You know, I can't focus on whether or not I get a phone call from somebody out of the church every day, because that's probably not going to happen. I told Brother Josh, I said, what's the matter with you? You mad at me? He said, what do you mean? I said, you ain't been calling. You don't write. You don't say hello. You don't wave. But listen, you know, sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we're doing things. And sometimes you just can't answer your phone. Or you can't make that phone call. But let me tell you something. We'll never go to God and him not answer. A lot of times we might not like the answer. A lot of times we got to work on ourselves to receive the answer. But listen, if it's broke, fix it. If you think it's going to break, fix it. You know, that's the awesome thing about God. His Spirit shows up way before it breaks. Way before it breaks, he shows up. Way before our foundation starts cracking, he shows up and he tries to warn us. But sometimes we got to take heed to the Spirit. You know, it might not always come by somebody pointing a finger at you and saying, come up here. You know, when a lot of times I knew my foundation was about to start cracking, it was just out of a word that our pastor said. Or somebody up here speaking, just a word that they would say. And it would cause me to check myself. But you see, you got to be vigilant. You got to be looking for it. And you got to be willing to receive it. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you might think, well, man, pastor been peeking in the window. No, it's not that. He's being led by the Spirit. And sometimes it might hurt. Listen, you think it didn't hurt Jesus when they tied him to that whipping post and beat him? Think it didn't hurt when they put that crown of thorns on his head? Do you know what he said? Father, not my will, but your will. And sometimes when something's said and it hits us right there, We need to be willing to say what Jesus said. Father, not my will, but your will. If it's broke, show me how to fix it. Help me get it right, Lord. Look, I had a guy the other day. I'm going to just share this with you. It's amazing how stuff happens, and all of a sudden people start blaming God. Had a guy showed up at my house to buy a gill net and some webbing I had. And I gave him the net and gave him the webbing, and I got my money. And he just hung around. So, well, something wrong with him. Something's bothering him. So I just let him hang out. And he looked at me and said, you know, me and my wife talked about coming to church till your pastor ran me off his lease. I said, really? I've been knowing you for almost 2 years, and you've been thinking about coming to church, and now because you got run off the lease, you done got mad at God, and you're not coming to church. If you wanted to serve God, you'd have served him. It ain't about getting run off the lease. You just felt better because you had somebody to tell. Look, he told the guy they don't go to church, and he didn't like the answer. But you know, don't get mad at God. I was home one night, and my phone rang, and a guy called me and said, man, so-and-so goes to your church. He got mad at me, and we got into it. What? Don't get mad at God because you and him got into it. It ain't God's fault, but we always want to blame God for everything. Quit blaming God. He never done it. Quit taking it out on him. You know, if you get mad at me, that's fine. But if I do you something, it gives you no reason to blame God. Whether you're right or I'm right, whether I'm wrong or you're wrong, we have no reason to blame God. Because all God done was loved us. All he done was had mercy on us. And he's continuing to love us and have mercy on us. And we need to love him back for that. We need to appreciate him for it. You know, some people used to call me and say, yeah, and that person goes to church. They didn't like the answer, so I don't get those calls no more. Now quit looking at that person and get your eyes on God, and you won't worry about what they say. You won't worry about what they think, and you won't worry about what they do. You get a relationship with God. I'm not talking about one of those just come have a cup of coffee every now and then. You know, sometimes you go by somebody's house and you get a cup of coffee, and every now and then they'll throw a biscuit in there. I'm not talking about those relationships. Talking about a real, true, personal relationship with the Father through the Son. And we won't worry about what church people do. Because if we go around worried about what church people do, we're in trouble. Your foundation don't even have a piling in the ground. Because the real, true, firm foundation is Jesus. And that's the way to the Father. And if we can't build on Jesus, we got a problem. If you can't build on Jesus, I can't help you. Listen, you get somebody's favorite speaker to come in, this church will fill up. My wife could tell you, I was in a service, and the lady walked in and said, oh, if I knew he was here, I'd have been here last night. And now I'm like, okay, Lord, now I'm supposed to get up and preach. I'm sitting on a front row, and I heard, and she was way in the back and walking in the door when she said it. So by the Spirit, through God's anointing, there was a spot in my message that I was able to say something about that. And I made this statement. I said, if you fall in love with God and get a real relationship with him, it won't matter if your favorite preacher or the preacher you like preaching, you'll be in church every service. You'll serve God no matter where you are. Of course, about that time, it got a little quiet. I don't think I was her favorite speaker no more. But it's the truth. Don't fall in love with the evangelist. Don't fall in love with the pastor. Don't fall in love with the song leader. But fall in love with God. And that's what's going to keep us, and that's what's going to cause us to want to be who God called us to be. That's what's going to cause us to say, when he says, take your only son. You know, imagine what Abraham was thinking when Isaac looked at him and said, Father, we got the wood. We got the fire. But where's the lamb? You know, by that time, I think even at a young age, he got to thinking. Somebody's about to be sacrificed here, and I got a bad feeling it's going to be me. But what his daddy said? God will provide. My, 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 my. If we can't get that and grab a hold of it and apply it to our, God will provide. You know, I got asked so many times. When this flood happened in Baton Rouge and I just took off and started going up there every day. Well, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? I trusted God. I could honestly tell you there was times I didn't even know where the money come from. Let me share with you what God will do. I called Brother Chad and Brother Brian. I said, hey, y'all coming to Baton Rouge with me tomorrow? Yeah, we coming. Brother Brian calls me back. He says, we could ride with you? He said, because my truck burns a lot of gas. So we got in a truck about 4:30 that morning and headed up. And I walked in the store to pay for the gas. And all of a sudden, Brother Chad comes running. He says, don't pay, don't pay, don't pay. He already used this card. Listen, I had just enough money to buy gas to get there and get back home. But then I got a phone call. Said, hey, God told me to do this. And every day, my wife could tell you, every day that family that we were working with said, let me pay you. I said, no, God said no. We're here to help because God said, it's time for you to receive. See, sometimes we got to get our receivers on. Sometimes we got to learn how to receive. But God began to make a way. You know, when I went to the barrel and the meal was gone, I got that phone call. And God just, he paid for every trip. Just made a way. You can look at us. We didn't miss a meal either. I took $40 one day. Because two old ladies was about to whip me with a stick. Because I told my wife, I said, we're going to eat on the way home. And she said, we paying for y'all to eat. I said, no, we're not taking nothing. And Sister Mercer was there. She said, oh, yeah, you are. And I said, Lord, for $40, I'm about to get whipped. So I said, just help me take it. I even told him, give it to my wife, the lady. And Elaine said, no, I'm not taking it. She just put the rap on me. But I was about to get whipped by an 83-year-old, and I think Sister Merce is, what, 70? Probably older than 70. So it was easier just to take it. Of course, I got preached to, too. But listen, there was days... You know, I told AJ, I said, you know, it seems like I don't do a whole lot when I'm here. But there was days that somebody would just walk in and they just say, all it takes is one word. They'd start talking and say that key word. You got to listen for the key word to be able to minister. And they give that key word and God would say, okay, tell them. And they leave just amazed at how God cares so much. You know, the last group from Michigan, Eric, his group, they went up there and they done an awesome job. But I got phone calls and said they made a mark spiritually. You know, Brother Brian called me. He stayed up there a few days with them and he called me and said, hey, what you want them to do? I said, obey God. Humility. I'm going to share this with you. Humility. Being humble. Being patient is so important when it comes to serving God. There's a family, a man and his wife, that we were helping. And we went up there and never complained. Was just humble. Said, hey, you know, we'll just wait. You know, let go and do their house. Go do that one. And Eric showed up at their house. And they were supposed to only work a half a day. Brother Brian called me and said, hey, what you want them to do at noon? I said, whatever God tells them to do, that's what they need to do. The house they worked in the day before, the man showed up, said, hey, y'all need to leave here and come down here and do ours. We can't wait no more. You got to quit doing theirs and do ours. But that ain't what God said. And they stayed there and they just worked the rest of that day and went back the next morning until it was time to leave. And the Lord gave me a word for that couple. I drove to Baton Rouge a couple of Saturdays ago. And I called them and I had them meet me. I said, listen to me. Think it not strange, the things that's happening. And it's not happening at a fast pace. I said, but because you humbled yourself before God, you never complained and you've been patient. God's honoring that. It's not, I could have said, no, y'all not going nowhere else. Where I need you to work here. And they'd have stayed, never said a word about it. But my answer when I got asked the question was, obey God. It don't matter what I think. Don't matter what I say. What matters is being where God said. And it made a mark. It marked people's lives. It changed some lives. You know, a lot of times we don't understand disaster. We don't understand loss. But sometimes it's just to help us realize we're not where God wants us to be. You know, a guy called me one day. I was on my way home and he said, you know, how's everything going? I said, you know, it would be so much easier had it been me. Instead of these people, if it would have been my house, it would have been a whole lot easier. And he said, well, how do you handle that stuff? I said, you just got to trust God. You just got to go where God say go. You got to deal with the people God sent you to deal with. And be who God called you to be. And see, that's the most important thing we can do. And so it wasn't about rebuilding a house. It wasn't about gutting the house. And you know, that's what we done. But it was about being the person God designed us to be so that they could see who God really is. You know, is it the fact that they're lost? No. But at that time of loss, at that time of disaster, they needed to see somebody that was positive. You know, we know what they went through. We've been through it. And the most important thing in time of lost, you got to be willing to put somebody else first. And listen, when it comes your turn. I shared with so many people in those 3 months. I shared with so many people. I said, you know, when we went down there and we done for everybody else. I said, but when it came our turn, everything just began to fall in place. Things began to happen. You know, they was talking about the debris. I said, you know, we were so blessed. It didn't sit there for months. Some places only sat there a few hours, and it was gone. But for a long time, they had debris out in the front yard. Now you can go up and see where it used to be. See, the important thing is being willing to say, yes, Lord. You know, I remember one trip with Brother Chad and Brother Herman was there, and they walked to the back of the house and came back and said, man, we got to go outside a minute. It'll get you. You know, you got an elderly person, ain't never been through that before. But I could tell you everything that every person from this church went and done for those families was greatly appreciated. They appreciated the fact that you took time out and allowed God to use you. And it caused a spiritual effect that we'll never understand the full value of it. And it wasn't with everybody, but the ones that it happened to, it was worth it all. You know what? If it was just one, it was worth every mile. It was worth every hour, every minute. And look, we're not done. We're going back. But I knew that, you know, going in, there was going to be a time that we just pull back. But we'll be going back and helping more because it's going to be a long time. They estimate in 15 to 18 months, there's just not enough contractors and crews to do every house. And that's even with the volunteers still showing up. It's that vast. But the most important thing, and I told the Lord the very first, when I got in my truck, I said, God, if I can't go and be led by you, the best thing for me to do is stay home. I only want to say what you want me to say. And I only want to be around the people you want me to be around. And I only want to do what you say do. See, it's a time to reach out to communities and be the church. And everybody I spoke to, saved or not, I said, there's not a better time than right now for the church to be who God called us to be. And we can be effective. That's the key. When we do something for God, let's be effective in it. Let's leave a mark on somebody's life. And they can look back and say, you know, I appreciate not the person, but I appreciate the God that they showed. The God that's living in them. And that's what it's all about, is being effective. And, you know, we could be effective right here in our own community. And let people know, God's real. It's not some fairy tale. You know, we don't come to church just because we don't have nothing else to do on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We come. If you're not coming because God's real, you need to check yourself. He's real. But you see, it's not just about those 3 days. He's real every day in my life. Every minute of the day. I can wake up in the middle of the night and call on him and he's there. Sometimes you don't have to call on him. He comes and shakes you and says, hey, get out of that bed. I had a preacher tell me one Sunday morning, I walked in to preach and he said, I was so glad that you was preaching this morning. I didn't have to wake up at 2 o'clock. Listen, every time God woke me up at 2 o'clock, it wasn't because I was preaching. It's just because he wanted to spend some time with me. Wanted to show me some things. Wanted to tell me some things. You know, if the only time we get woke up by the Spirit is because we're preaching, maybe we need to check on that. You know, you just don't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because you're not sleepy. But when you wake up and sleep leaves you, there's a reason for it. 90% of the time, you know what it is? Spend time with the Lord. Work on our relationship. Get stronger in Him. To know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. It's important to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Let's all stand. Let's continue to pray for Brother Nathaniel and that family. This time of lost and